With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We'll get to phone calls coming up. More over-unders, according to DraftKings. I gave you the Falcons, 9.5. I don't think it changed after last night, but we have the Texans, Patriots, Vikings, Chiefs, Broncos, their over-unders. We'll have that for you coming up. We did find somebody who had the Falcons taking Michael Penix Jr., 8th overall in his mock draft. He'll join us coming up at the top of the hour. Joining us now is the star of NFL Network's coverage of the draft last night, the Rich Eisen Show on Roku. Also, Run Rich Run, the charitable campaign raising awareness and support for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. He's been doing it for 20 years, and you can be involved in it as well. Fans are encouraged to submit their 40-yard dash videos on social media using the hashtag RunLikeRich. Well, let's start with the Falcons there, Rich. Did the Falcons have a good night last night?
I have no idea. The Falcons GM did a mock draft. Is that who you have on later?
No, I found a reporter who had Michael Penix Jr. going to the Falcons, and he came out on April 5th. So
it's a head-scratcher. To say the least, Dan, that they would sign Kirk Cousins to a monster contract, owe him $90 million over the next 2 years, and then get somebody who clearly is going to be a starting quarterback well before Kirk Cousins' plan to retire as an Atlanta Falcon could be realized. So it's a wild scenario. Done this now 21 drafts, 18 in person, never seen anything like this one. Never seen anything like it because we're always told by front offices, don't judge us on our entire offseason until you get to the draft. You can't judge everybody just on free agency. Let's see what the draft looks like. That is definitely something the Dallas Cowboys would tell every single fan that they have. And I don't recall a time where a team goes and signs a quarterback, a veteran, to a contract that large with a no trade clause to boot, and at the same time clearly is falling in love with his replacement. And that is truly unprecedented.
What was the reaction on I was watching, and Ian Rappaport like, they might, there's a chance they're considering Michael Penix Jr. And I'm watching, I'm thinking, oh, I think he means that they're maybe somebody's trading up to get Michael Penix. Like, why would the Falcons? But your guy's reaction was?
Yeah, it went from a dumb and dumber, you're saying there's a chance, to reality in a split second. Like, that was wild. We were all looking at each other as it happened, sort of like, really? Okay, and it's one of those moments, obviously, on a broadcast where the needle's ripped off the record. But you have to also be as respectful as possible because, you know, Michael Penix Jr. didn't decide to be drafted under these circumstances in the same way Kirk Cousins didn't decide to be drafted under the in the same way that he was drafted in D.C. just a couple of rounds later after the Commanders chose a quarterback second overall. That's the only moment that could even be remotely close to something like this in the 20, you know, some odd years that I've been fortunate to have the chair. that's Cousins has been involved in both, where he was the other quarterback in, but the first quarterback wasn't a veteran signed to a monster contract. It was a second overall selected guy in RG3. We were all just, again, just knowing, all right, this is the moment, but Penix is so talented. He's worthy of the eighth overall pick in the draft. I mean, Kurt Warner thought he was better of a prospect than Drake May. And he had him, I guess, rated higher on his draft board, if there's such a thing for Kurt. And so you have to understand why Penix is being drafted eighth overall. He is worthy of that pick, while also talking about the unique circumstances in real time.
Give me the other head scratcher that jumps out.
I don't know if they're really, well, I mean, it depends on how J.J. McCarthy performs. So if J.J. McCarthy performs well in Minnesota, has a season, if he does get a shot to start week one with Sam Darnold being there, has a season that we think he, at least I could, you know, I am talking through a cell phone right now, Zooming with you, and the phone protector cover says Michigan beat everybody on it. So obviously I'm a little biased when it comes to J.J. McCarthy, but if he gets a shot, Dan, and he's got his own J.J. and Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and Aaron Jones and a coach and quarterback coach who's Josh McCown that's set up to have him succeed, then you're going to look right at the Giants and go, really? Okay, you sat there at six, you stuck and you picked, and obviously Malik Nabers is insanely talented. Again, that's nothing against that kid, but if Drew Locke is going to be the week one starter, which I expect he will be now, and then Daniel Jones comes back and is somewhat similar to the quarterback we saw prior to him getting hurt last year, then there no doubt will be a lot of longtime listeners, first-time callers from Staten Island basically saying, what was up with you taking a wide receiver for this quarterback group when J.J. McCarthy, who's dominating in Minnesota? That is going to be a possibility for the fall. But in terms of anyone else, I mean, nothing comes close to Penix being drafted by Atlanta, and why a team that does appear to be set right now to add a big piece on defense or trade out and get more draft choices lower down to get the same defender that they could have chosen at eight in the middle of the first round. There's nothing close to that, that they didn't add something to make their roster better last night. What they did was plan for the future at a position that they've already handsomely paid somebody.
What are the Bills doing?
You know what they're doing is, I think they're amassing more picks to get lower, in a draft to take, wide receivers that they're equally as happy with, at the top of the second round. It is possible that, Brandon Bean bought himself a full overnight and an all day to hammer something out with, San Francisco, perhaps for Brandon Ayuk, as opposed to doing it on the draft board when the Niners are figuring out what they're doing themselves, 31st overall. Now you can really set to it. If there is a veteran out there that may not be Ayuk, you can try and figure that out. But otherwise, you know, I know them making a trade with Kansas City particularly sticks in the craw of Bills fans. But, I mean, if they were going to get Adonai Mitchell last night, 32nd overall, and they hopped out of that spot, so the Panthers could take the kid Leggett from Florida State, who verbally said in the process, Carolina told me they're going to get me with the first pick in the second night. And so the free football world knew who Carolina was trading into that spot. That also includes Buffalo. So what's the big deal? I guess you're only costing yourself a fifth year of contractual control with the kid you're drafting first up tonight while giving you a shot to make a blockbuster deal. That's pretty much what I think. And maybe they also weren't interested in Xavier Worthy, and they knew the Chiefs were, and just keep amassing picks, obviously, for a team that made some big salary cap decision moves on the defensive side of the ball. They need to get more kids and supplement, and second night picks in this draft isn't such a bad thing.
How would you rank the atmosphere last night in Detroit?
Awesome. Awesome. It was freezing cold. Even with all that, 250,000 people coming to this spot. You know, and it was lit. It was a great atmosphere last night, and I'm keen to see what the next 2 days bring, because they're off and running to beat Nashville's record of 600,000 people.
Yeah.
And Nashville at least had, you know, lower Broadway, so people could step in and out of outstanding establishments to sample the draft. This was in Cadillac Square, so. And it was really, you couldn't go in and out. As a matter of fact, they closed down the entryway about an hour before the draft. They basically said, sorry. And it turned into Times Square. There were kind of like people spilling on the outskirts of the draft. It was great. It was awesome. And tonight should be hopefully equally as lit.
How's your energy?
Oh, Dan, I appreciate you asking. My energy's great. How's yours?
Spectacular.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you think of the Penix pick?
I like him. I was told he was moving up. I didn't know that he was moving up there and that team, and it could work out. But it's like when people say, well, Jordan Love worked out. Well, did it? Because in the moment, you didn't help Aaron Rodgers, but you did help your future, and he had a really good year. Now you got to pay Jordan Love $45 or $50 million. So... he could have been the right quarterback. It just wasn't the right time for him to be the right quarterback. And I think that's what I thought with Penix. Now, I never would have brought in Kirk Cousins for $100 million. I just wouldn't have done it. With the number of quarterbacks in this draft, maybe, you know, I like one or I like two, but I just wouldn't. Coming off Achilles, I just wouldn't have done. He's 35. And you're drafting Penix, who's probably going to be 27 by the time he gets an opportunity to play on a regular basis. He's 24. You know, it just seemed... Jordan Love is now turning 24, I think. So, I don't know. It was a
hit. Yeah, I mean, but I think you bringing up Jordan Love's situation is no doubt what looms over this decision, for the lack of a better phrase, that at least Green Bay was fortunate enough to see the year Jordan Love had before they're going to make that large financial commitment to him. So they know who they have in him. That is going to be the question as to when Penix does get in there, 26, 27 years old, as you point out. And Atlanta is looking at the fact that on the back end of Penix's deal, that they are, yes, forfeiting half of a rookie contract and the financial gains you get by having one. And also, that is the mantra in the NFL right now, is winning a Super Bowl within a rookie contract for a quarterback drafted as high as Penix was. They're forfeiting half of that, but they're looking at the back half of that, where I looked it up this morning. He's going to cost them $6.5 million over the final 2 years of his deal, and then a fifth-year option, which is dirt cheap. So they're looking at that, but they're also, as you pointed out, they're not supplementing the guy they have just spent insane generational money on. And that guy shows up, he's throwing out first pitches at baseball games saying, I'm an Atlanta guy now. I'm going to retire here. And you've now robbed him of that whole, you know, public persona right off the, before even... He barely showed up for the off-season workout program. And that's going to be the question, too, that he's going to have as he's walking through the buildings. Like, when did they fall in love with Penix? Was it like legitimately during the college football playoffs and he still signed me and didn't say that they were thinking of him? Yeah. Was it during the top 30 visit that they took to him? Was it during a pro day? When was it? And how come it didn't filter to me until 30 seconds before they picked him? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that basically what the Falcons did by calling him before they picked him is kind of like when somebody reaches for the check and they don't intend to pick it up. They're just doing it as you're purchasing it. Like, let me get that, you know, like that's essentially what they did last night. And I don't know how it's going to manifest. I don't.
Give me the name that you're nervous about pronouncing over the next 2 days.
Oh, gosh. You know what? I'm just taking it one pick at a time and hoping for the best. I got a great crew. They spell things phonetically for me, Dan. And that's when you also goes, what do you think of this one, Daniel? You know, like that's when you do one of those, you lean on Clatt or Schrager or Charles Davis. And I appreciate you mentioning the run, stjude.org/runrichrun to donate any dollar, any penny matters for St. Jude. So I appreciate you doing that too. And I appreciate the video you shot.
You're welcome.
With Paul, and it was fun on your set, and you used a prop, which, you know, is legal in this part of the NFL. So I appreciate it, Dan.
Have fun later today and tonight. Thanks for joining us, as always. That's Rich Eisen, host of NFL Network, The Rich Eisen Show. You can see that on Roku. And you can take part in the 40-yard dash. Send your video on social media using hashtag RunLikeRich. We'll take a break. Play of the day coming up. And then at the top of the hour, we actually found somebody in his mock draft who had the Falcons taking Michael Penix Jr. Wow. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, everybody. Game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories. For 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. Hour two on this Meat Friday. Gang's all here, ready to go. And in case you're wondering, what are you having for Meat Friday, Dan? Glad you asked. National Pretzel Day. Pretzel bun sliders, mini pretzel dogs, baked pretzel bites, and beer cheese dip. All on the Traeger. Who's got it better than we do?
Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody has it better than you, the audience. Dan's deals for Mother's Day, limited quantities, 50 to 60% off. And we got a price point for just about every budget there. Items will sell out. Make sure that you take care of mom. You can do it today. One fell swoop. You can take care of a couple of mothers today. Go to danpatrick.com. You got the Miko foot massager that I'm trying to keep Fritzy away from. And the Villa Florioni.
Floriani.
Floriani and body kit.
There's this jewelry there, a company called Rattani.
Yeah.
And it is gorgeous.
Yes.
It's gorgeous. It is a massive hammer of a gift.
Yes.
That you're getting it, like, I think half off. It is a hammer of a gift, where if you want a Mother's Day that's like, oh, damn, all right, that, it's unbelievable.
50 to 60% off everything. This is the third year we've done it. And once again, when we run out, then people say, wait, we didn't know you were going to run out of. Yes, it's first come, first serve, supply and demand. And make sure you take advantage of this. Happens once a year, and they're handpicked by me. And really proud of what we have. But go to danpatrick.com. Coming up, we found somebody in his mock draft had the Falcons taking Michael Penix Jr. He'll join us coming up here in a moment. Let me get some other business out of the way. Good morning. If you're watching on Peacock, our streaming partner, download the app if you haven't done so. Radio affiliates around the country, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, those chatting on Chat Row. Louis Riddick, ESPN football analyst, joins us a little bit later on. Ross Tucker will stop by as well. The Magic beat the Cavs. 76ers handle the Knicks. And the Nuggets up 3-0 on the Lakers. You got rounds 2 and 3 tonight in the NFL draft. Also, Bucks, Pacers, Clippers, Mavs, Timberwolves, and the Suns. Poll question before we get to our guest. Seton O'Connor.
Right now, Dan, we've got up there, we've got two.
Okay.
Best non-quarterback pick made last night in the first 10.
Ooh.
Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Joe Alt and the Chargers.
Right.
It's not sexy, but that's a great pick. That makes them better.
Yeah.
Roma Dunze going to the Bears.
Yeah, I love that.
That's a fun pick. That's a lot of fun.
Yes. And then you have neighbors going to the Giants, but then you're going to the Giants and who's throwing it to you.
Right. And Marvin Harrison Jr., plug him in. He's ready to play. Superstar.
Yes. And I thought that that was going to happen. I didn't buy into the J.J. McCarthy hype. Although I'm told this morning by a source that teams, they did want to go up to where Arizona was. They just weren't giving enough. And teams were, I said there'd be a team that would get squirrely. It happens every year. Now, I didn't know that team would be Atlanta. And there were other teams that were interested in Michael Penix Jr. Seattle, reportedly, the Raiders, Denver, but Atlanta gets their man. And our man, D. Orlando Ledbetter, has been covering the Falcons for 20 years, I believe. And you and your mock draft back in early April had them taking Michael Penix Jr. I'll let you take a victory lap here, but why did you think Michael Penix Jr. was going to the Falcons?
Well, thank you so much, Dan. Yeah, I moved off of it, so I won't take the victory lap. But they had went out to Seattle to work him out last year. The whole Arthur Blank plane, the general manager, the whole coaching staff. And so they did the same thing last year when they went to Austin to do Bijan Robinson. So I'm like, oh, this is the full entourage trip. So that's a tip that this is the pick. And so I wrote it, and I went and said, hey, you know, this is the pick, because they went full Monty on the visit.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand. Now, let me ask you, do you like the pick?
I understand the pick. I'm in the minority.
that's not liking the pick.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you could have picked a better player to help your team out immediately. But I understand what they were doing. Yeah, you could have got a more impact player, maybe a defensive stalwart that's going to be on the field for you for 10 years, where you picked a guy that's going to clearly sit for a couple.
Yeah, I don't get it, because he's 24. He's probably going to be 27 by the time he's the full-time quarterback. And you're invested in Cousins for, I think you're tied up at least for 3 years here.
Yeah, the hit would be massive if it's a two-year deal. You're okay after three and certainly fine after four.
Oh, my gosh. How do you think Kirk Cousins is going to take this?
Oh, he hasn't taken it well. We've talked to his agent. We've heard from confused, shock is what we heard, dismay. You know, were some of the reactions of Kirk Cousins. He hasn't come out publicly, but on his agent, Mike McCartney, he has expressed those emotions on behalf of his client.
How does this work out?
You know, there's a couple different ways. You know, hey, Kirk comes in, they win, they develop Penix, they have a transition plan in place. The other scenario is Kirk, you know, they don't win, they lose, they put the kid in there too early, and they're back here in the draft at number eight, trying to pick another quarterback in a couple years.
Let's go back a little ways when we thought Belichick was going to Atlanta. Then we found out some more details, maybe Robert Kraft telling his friend Arthur Blank that don't do it. What was your thought when the Falcons decided that they weren't going to hire Bill Belichick?
Yeah, I was caught off guard. Well, most people were. I thought it was a lock. You know, when you got rid of a coach that, you know, Arthur Smith had done a credible job given the set of circumstances that he had, and you're going to cut him short early. That was indicating that you already had something in place with Belichick. So we were stunned that that didn't happen. He couldn't win over the building, and so the owner had to move in another direction there. Raheem had support within the building and ended up getting the job.
Yeah, this is wild. That guy
yes,
wouldn't.
Yes, it is. It's the Falcons, though, man.
Well, you've seen a lot over 20 years.
Yes, I have. From federal dogfighting trials to this.
Yeah, you've seen it all. But, you know, it's still, I wouldn't have brought in Kirk Cousins, 35 coming off Achilles surgery, and it's going to cost me $100 million guaranteed. No. I know maybe he's the final piece here. We're assuming he's going to be healthy to be able to play. But, man, I'm puzzled by this. I'm puzzled. I'm not easily puzzled in this business. This one, the whole thing in the offseason, no Belichick, you got Kirk Cousins, and now you take Michael Penix.
Yeah, and I think you got to go back to them going after Deshaun Watson in 2021 when they decided that Matt Ryan couldn't keep going. And, you know, they found out the price tag was too high for him then. The 230 guarantee was too high. So then you end up playing with Mariota and Ritter for 2 years, and that didn't work out. So now you're in desperate quarterback mode.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be one of those teams like Denver playing 16 different quarterbacks for the next 10 years. So you make a move and get Cousins, and now you make another move and get his apparent successor. So that's the backdrop. You kind of got to start at them trying to get Deshaun Watson and that failing, and then the subsequent move being bad.
Well, you got a lot of things to write about down there, so
yes, we do.
make your job easy. Hey, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Dan. Thanks for having me.
D. Orlando Ledbetter. He initially had the Falcons taking Michael Penix Jr. Had him among the final five players on the Falcons radar. And what he did is basically apply logic of they went all in, everybody went out to see Bijan Robinson. And then he used the same logic of Arthur Blank and his private jet, and everybody is going to go out to the workout for Michael Penix Jr. Yeah, Paul.
It makes more sense now when you hear him say that they went out, looked at him, and fell in love with him. They also got Cousins. To them, they're like, well, we got both. We got two things. Yeah, it's a generation ago, but Steve Young sat for four seasons for the 49ers. I don't think he took over till he was 29.
Yeah, but you had one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in front of him.
Just like Atlanta.
Kirk Cousins. Oh, is.
Sorry. Yes. I thought you were setting me up.
Yes. I get it. If I got the one of the greatest he was the greatest quarterback in the league at the time.
Yeah.
And you got Steve Young, and you were able to have him wait. I get that.
It's like we're trying to find reasons that this could work out. Long term, not short term.
Well, it can work out. It doesn't mean it was the right decision right now. But look, would I have hired Belichick? I guess. But look, it's the front office is going, telling the owner, we don't think you should hire him because they don't want to lose their jobs. Philadelphia should have hired Bill Belichick. Absolutely. But, okay, and then you bring in Kirk Cousins. I like Kirk. Great guest. I wouldn't have paid him that money coming off an Achilles surgery, and he's 35. And then you take Michael Penix. Okay, it might work out. Just like Jordan Love worked out. But it wasn't the right decision in the moment, in my opinion. And you're lucky. He did, you know, came out of his shell when he's played well. He played really well second half of the season. And I've been a Jordan Love fan. Said that he was going to be a franchise quarterback. But in the moment, you had the best quarterback in the NFL, and you didn't get him any weapons in Aaron Rodgers. All righty. We'll talk to Lewis Riddick. He'll join us coming up. Let's see. James in Virginia is back. Hi, James. What's on your mind today?
Oh, thank you for taking my call, brother. Happy Friday, DP, Danette. Salute the Commanders, man. It's a new era in Washington. But I'm calling about Michael Penix Jr., man. I love this guy, and I love this pick, man. The cupboard is not there in Atlanta. You got Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts. Offensively, they got a solid O-line. They're going to be good. And if Kirk Cousins does what Kirk Cousins is supposed to do, when is the next time Atlanta's drafting in the top 10? Meanwhile, you got a young rookie sitting, simmering, learning the playbook. He's uber smart. And when he comes into play, if he's 27, if he plays to 34,
hey, James, you're a Commanders fan, and here you are falling in love with the Falcons.
I love football, but my heart is burgundy and gold. But I love football, man. But I'll be honest with you, man. If he plays seven seasons, in seven seasons, Washington has had 15 quarterbacks.
Okay, if I said you could have Michael Penix Jr. for the Commanders or Jaden Daniels.
See, I'm biased, man, because I wanted them to trade back. The thing that about Daniels that worries me is that he's slight, but he is bigger than I thought at 6'4". And his speed does give him an ability to move around the pocket and make plays. It's just that stat yesterday.
You didn't answer the question.
I got to take number 5, Jaden Daniels, because he's on the team, man. But I love Michael Penix, and I wanted to see him succeed.
All right. Thank you, James. Have a good weekend. Ken in Atlanta, who Marvin hung up on before Ken could say something about the Falcons. Hi, Ken. Sorry about that.
No worries. Just a little brother on brother crime. Thanks a lot,
man.
But
I'm sorry, Ken.
Hey, no worries. You know, I got to see who was who and what was what. But but being in Atlanta, and especially being a season ticket holder, our two trips to the Super Bowl with the Eugene Robinson scandal and the 28-3 thing. The 28-3 was the closest thing to a death, like losing that Super Bowl and having the year after Mike Vick left and having a year without Matt Ryan, with 2 years without Matt Ryan. This is the first time that X and O hugs and kisses kind of franchise was very shrewd. And of all the sports, no sport is more shrewd than football. And this was 100% about business. It may not make sense to anybody that's anywhere, even us, but those guys, Terry and Raheem, looks like they are dug in, and it makes sense to make sure that we don't have anything like
that. I get it, and thank you, Ken, for calling back. I get it, but It's just, you deal now. The NFL is now. It's the now football league. You know, the Chiefs have this window. What'd they do? They traded up a couple spots. And they get the fastest guy in the draft. You're thinking now. And that's where you know, I'm confused with this. Because Atlanta can be, they can win that division. They can.
Sorry.
But I'm not helping who they have now. They have young talent now. Okay. It's not enough to win. Like, you can win the division. What's your goal? I would think it would be to win a few games in the playoffs, not just win your division. John in Hartford. Hi, John. What's on your mind today?
Hi. I'm 5'10", 200, and let's move on. I literally have news about the word literally.
Okay.
And so because young people were using it incorrectly for the past, I don't know, few years, Merriam-Webster's dictionary had to add an additional definition of the word literally, and it includes the word hyperbolic.
Okay.
So literally, the word literally doesn't mean much anymore.
Literally?
Okay. The word literally doesn't mean literally anymore because so many people use it incorrectly, they had to change the meaning of the word just so that many people aren't wrong.
Okay. Thank you, John.
That's
okay.
Crazy.
I know my kids will say that literally. Like, oh, you know, blah, 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 literally. And then you go, no, 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 figuratively. And then like, huh? I go, never mind.
That's mine for me is the one that really gets me. Is everyone has dropped L-Y from words. Like, no, you took that personal. No, you took it personally. You took it personally. You didn't take it personal. That's a different word. It's personally.
Yes, Marvin.
Did you ask the school that you paid for their money back? Like, wait, literal?
Well, if you have a conversation with somebody under 25, count the number of times they say like, and then like, and then like, and I'll go, how many likes do you need? Like my daughters all the time. How about we drop the like?
Or the slang words.
Yeah. Literally. All right.
You know, my wife just said Riz yesterday, and we were like, what are you doing?
Charisma.
She said it tongue-in-cheekly. Oh. She said it like, which is, it's funny when you're starting to notice these moments where you're like, I can't believe this is how old we're getting, but if we say Riz, we sound so much older.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. The cringe factor was hilarious because we're just like, oh, no.
It wasn't cringy. No, that's cap.
Yeah.
No cap. Now, I heard that one time, and one of my daughters said, oh, man, that album, it's so Riz. It's got so much Riz. And I go, what? Yeah, charisma. And I go, what? Yeah, oh, Riz. Okay. I go, okay, Riz. You got Riz. All right, let me take a break. We'll talk some more about the NFL draft. Lewis Riddick and the On Deck Circle. More phone calls as well. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask?
Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, everybody. Game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know what I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
The 150th Kentucky Derby. It's coming up. Churchill Downs. You can join the tradition. Stream every race live Saturday, May 4th at 12 noon Eastern on Peacock. Today's Mercedes-Benz interview of the day brought to you by Mercedes-Benz EV, the versatile EQB to the sublime EQS sedan. The feeling is all Mercedes. The vehicle is all electric. The choice all yours. Learn more, mbusa.com/EQ. Our good buddy, Lewis Riddick, covering the NFL draft. And he'll be on site again in Detroit. It'll be day two of the draft starting on ESPN2 at 7 Eastern. And then Saturday back on the mothership. Lewis, if the Falcons had called you last week, let's say Terry Fontenot called you and said, hey, we're thinking about taking Raheem Morris. Or if Raheem Morris had called you, we're thinking about taking Michael Penix Jr. Your reaction would have been what?
First, I would have said, well, why? Considering where you're at in your program, Bill, where, meaning you're right there. You're right there as far as being able to win the South, get into the playoffs, and then who knows what happens, especially if, Raheem, you can get somebody to fix or help fix what has been a years-long problem as far as rushing the passer. You guys have this organization has thrown draft capital, free agent capital at it. It just hasn't worked. And you have all of them sitting there at 8 at your disposal. You can pick whichever one you want. Whichever one you want. And with Kirk, I'm assuming he's good to go, right? You gave him $100 million guaranteed, right? So, I mean, so what's the deal there? Now, I know, as the great Ron Wolf always said, and Andy Reid used to tell us, the best time to pick your franchise quarterback is when you don't need your franchise quarterback. I get that. I mean, you're not going to get anything. You're not getting any return on your investment this year with that guy. So if you're willing to say, hey, look, we're okay with that. We'll hit it the rest of the draft. And we'll be able to address that pass rush position and we'll still be okay, even if we don't get a return on that first round pick, then I guess I would say more power to you. But good luck. You better hit. Because as we know, like, patience isn't something that the NFL owners have a whole lot of. So you better be winning regardless. And I get thinking about the long term. Because Michael could be fantastic. And if you believe it, hey, I'm never one to, like, ever kind of talk somebody out of believing that they may have found a franchise quarterback. That's why I never had any issue with the Patriots taking one. If the Giants felt like they needed one, I never have an issue with that.
But best case scenario is he doesn't play for 3 years.
Right.
Because you'll have Cousins playing well. You're paying him for 3 years guaranteed. And then he's going to be 27 when he probably gets a chance to start in the NFL.
Yep.
I want to take advantage of the rookie contract at that position. So that, I didn't understand it. Now, I've said before, I wouldn't have brought in Kirk Cousins for that kind of money coming off Achilles surgery. So I wouldn't have done that. Now, would I have gone all in for a quarterback? Yes. But I just think you got to address needs, just like, you know, Green Bay. It now looks like they did the right job with Jordan Love, but in the moment they didn't do the right job because the know, right thing, because they didn't add to a team that was a Super Bowl contender.
But they, you know, again, but as you know, I mean, it's also trading back into the first in the bottom quarter of the round to get that quarterback instead of taking him eight.
Yeah.
See, that's the rub right there. That's where you're going. Look, you could get, I mean, arguably, you could get a day one impact player. You could have got a day one impact player that steps in and helps your defense, maybe get people off the field, so your new offense led by Kirk Cousins, who you gave $100 million to, can have more cracks at. Now you don't have that guy. So, look, it's one of those where I saw some video of Terry Fontenot talking to Arthur Blank in the draft room.
He's explaining what Arthur Blank's like, wait, what are you telling me? That's Trust me.
I would love that better fly on the wall on that one, man.
Who had a great night last night?
I think Baltimore always winds up having great nights because Nate Wiggins, the selection of him at 30. Nate was probably, Quinyon Mitchell was probably my number one corner, but like him and Nate Wiggins were like 1 and 1A. Okay. Because of the way they play, which is so competitive and tough and physical. And you always hear down in Baltimore, you know, John Harbaugh's always talking about play like a Raven. Well, what does that mean? Well, I think if you turn on the tape of Nate Wiggins at Clemson, you'll see what it means. You watch the North Carolina game where he tracks a dude down from 15 yards behind when he could have easily given up on the play. That's what it means. When you watch him covering Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson at Florida State, and then he'll go in the slot and cover guys like Tez Walker from North Carolina, totally different body type, and shut them all down. That's playing like a race. So that, to me, that team, that organization probably knows who they are as well as anyone in the National Football League. Now, I know people say, well, they ain't winning any Super Bowls. I mean, they ain't getting past Patrick yet. But that's besides the point. They understand the draft. They understand how to find their guys. And for them to sit there with cornerback being a top two need and sit there at 30 and watch a guy like Nate Wiggins fall all the way down because of all those offensive players who went above him, that's a great night. If you're Eric DaCosta, if you're Steve Bisciotti, you went home last night going, damn, we're pretty good at this thing.
The Chiefs know their identity.
Yep.
But I'm wondering if Buffalo knows its identity, because Buffalo trades with Kansas City and Kansas City says, okay, we'll take Xavier. We'll take the fastest guy in the draft.
Yeah.
Let me start with Buffalo. What do you make of what Buffalo is trying to do?
Yeah, it's interesting because like the two wide receivers like late in the draft, the two Xaviers that went, Worthy and then Leggett, who went to Carolina, who trades with Buffalo and Buffalo trades out of the first. Like both of those guys, of those two, Leggett is the one that if I'm Buffalo, I would have wanted. The bigger guy, 6'1", 220, a true X wide receiver on the outside who has 4.3 speed. He looks like A.J. Brown. That's who I think he'll be.
Wow.
He'd be that catch and run guy who will just go 90 because he's 4.3. Or at 220 pounds, he's going to run over your small linebackers and your safeties and corners. And he can return punts. He's all that. That's the kind of guy, like that's that guy that Josh Allen, you could picture Xavier Leggett up there in Buffalo with Josh Allen and Khalil Shakir in the slot. You know, I mean, that just makes so much sense to me. And I was like, man, like they just gave away those two dudes. Like if they wanted Xavier Worthy, same thing, they just gave him away. Now, there's other good receivers coming up here that are going to go off the board early. Like a guy like A.D. Mitchell from Texas, body type wise fits what I think Buffalo needs in terms of how you construct the wide receiver room. We'll see. They may trade down again. I'll be sitting there going, all right. Maybe you have some other plans.
Who had a better night last night, Denver or Minnesota, from the quarterbacking perspective?
Wow, that's a real good one, man. I would say Minnesota simply because I think that one, Minnesota has the best, I think, situation to offer any of these young quarterbacks. Solid offensive line, two bookend tackles, a running back in Aaron Jones who has proven in the NFL he can do it all, catch out of the backfield and run it. TJ Hawkinson comes back healthy. You have a top three tight end in the NFL. You have maybe arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL, maybe the best two in the NFL in Jordan Addison. And you have Kevin O'Connell who – I've been told, look, Josh McCown, who went up there, who, you know, gets released in Carolina, goes up there to be the quarterback coach. When I saw him at the combine, he said, you know, one of the best things about our situation for a young quarterback is that Kevin has answers for young quarterbacks when they see something they don't quite understand, or they see a situation, they go, how am I supposed to handle this? There's no gray area. Their rules, their methodology, their philosophy is so airtight. I shouldn't say airtight. Has so many different things that it can go to answer anything defenses can do, that there's nothing a young quarterback will be able to say, hey, you know what, my quarterback coach, my offensive coordinator doesn't have an answer for me. And that's why Kirk Cousins, I believe, took his game to a whole nother level when Kevin got there and played the way he did. Mm-hmm. So for a guy like J.J. McCarthy to go in there now and be able to sit behind Sam, who also has played in this style of system out there in San Fran, that whole Sean McVay, you know, type of system, I think it's just perfect for him. It's perfect for him to sit there, bide his time, and when he's ready to go and they're ready to put him in there, look at all the things he has to work with. Now, look, Sean Payton is someone who I don't think, as much as people respect him as a coach, I don't think people really understand, unless you've talked to him for a little bit, just how smart this dude is when it comes to being able to assess strengths and weaknesses in offensive players and put them in good spots. And if he believes in Bo Nix the way he obviously does to draft him where he did, you can best believe he's going to have Bo Nix in positions to really take advantage of his strengths. And I think Bo is a darn good quarterback, and I think he'll excel given the way Sean coaches that position and how multiple he can be in terms of utilizing guys, whether you have a big giant arm and can throw the football down the field like Jameis, or you're someone who was like Drew, who was much more cerebral, which I think Bo Nix is like right in between there. And I think we're going to see that.
I know you're busy. Always great to talk to you. Have a good weekend.
You bet, man. Thanks a lot for having me.
Louis Riddick, ESPN NFL college football analyst, and also worked in the front office with Washington and the Eagles. Part of the draft day coverage, and ESPN has that for you tonight. ESPN 2 at 7 Eastern, then Saturday on the mothership beginning at noon Eastern. I had a source who reached out this morning. You know, he knows that we're talking about Michael Penix Jr. And he said, you know, here's the one problem that I have with Michael Penix. He goes, and it's not injuries. It's he doesn't make plays out of the pocket. And in the NFL, you can't just stay in the pocket. You got to be able to make plays outside the pocket. And he is not somebody who makes plays out of the pocket. Now, I did text back and say, well, he's got 3 years to learn how to do that. Because I don't think he's playing anytime soon. Your best case scenario is Kirk Cousins comes back, plays well for 3 years. You give him his $100 million guaranteed. And then you say, all right, Kirk, thank you. You're 38, and we got your backup ready to go. Yes, Paulie.
See, when I hear what you just said, I think that's a positive thing. All I hear is guys like, I heard Collinsworth last night and others going, we need more quarterbacks to stay in the pocket and make passes on time. There's a scheduled offense that they worked hard on in timing. And he goes, too many of these guys are freelancing and running around. To me, that sounds like a positive about Penix.
I just think there are plays that you have to make. There be plays when you have to make them out of the pocket. You're going to be forced out of the pocket. You know, the talent level you're going up against is going to force you out of the pocket. Everybody has an edge rusher, at least one. He's going to have to make some plays out of the pocket. I was watching Nick Saban. I thought Saban did a really good job. Bill Belichick did a nice job with McAfee. You know, you're never quite sure about either of these guys because of their personality. Like, Nick seems like he's got a sense of humor. You know, it's dry, whereas Belichick is just dry. And I know everybody says, oh, those who play for him, man, he's got a great sense of humor. Okay. You know who's always funny? The guy who's in power. You know, the guy who wins the Super Bowl. Exactly.
Yeah, you're right, Dan. You're right about that.
And what happened last night on the mothership set? No matter what Nick Saban said.
Oh, coach.
And I go, it's not that funny. Like, how about we pick our spots? But they wanted to please him and make him feel comfortable with everything that he said. And he does have great insight. But he's not a stand-up comedian. And Belichick was more of just like McAfee and, you know, his band of misfits. They're like, you know, saying silly stuff. And then Bill would come back and he'd be like, well, I don't see the comparison between Drake May and Josh Allen.
It's footwork and he leaves a lot to be desired. But
It's like they'd hired Stephen Wright to be the draft analyst.
Yeah, like, okay. And then McAfee and his crowd, you know, they're all caffeined up in there. But I thought Saban did a good job. I thought he did a nice job. Brought us, and he involved people. A lot of times you play to that person, and that's not a good thing to do. That you want that person to then play to everybody else on your panel, up you know, on the set. That it's not just, hey, let's go to you, and then everybody else has to kind of fill in after that. Saban would get it, and then Saban would say, what do you think, Kirk? And then he would send it to Herb Street. And I thought that that was great. But, you know, it's fun to watch. I'm watching my boy Rich Eisen, Daniel Jeremiah, Charles Davis. You know, I'm watching those guys last night. I'm loyal to Richie Rich, even though, you know, the mothership, they still got friends there. But, yeah, you know, flipping back and forth. And it felt like, did the NFL Network, were they 5 seconds ahead of the mothership? Or was that just my DirecTV?
I experienced the same thing. It was a solid like 5 seconds getting it faster from NFL Network, but maybe different cable systems are different. I don't know.
And I don't like tipping, you know, the picks. I mean, Chefty was tipping. I don't want that. And you know what? Don't do it on TV. Do it on social. I'm fine with that. But I had a problem with that. And I turned back to the NFL Network. I don't want you tipping your picks or your pitches. Yes, Todd.
No, it was just, I don't know if it was frustrating, but I just found it odd, like, we're going back and forth just kind of to see why one would be a good 5-6 seconds ahead of the other one when they're just two major networks.
Yes, Paul.
It happens like that also with the Red Zone on different channels. Like, the Red Zone on both DirecTV and on NFL Network, it doesn't match up to network broadcasts. It's actually faster. So let's say you have a few TVs on. You have CBS and Fox on a weekend, and you have live games, and then you have one of the Red Zones on. The Red Zone is about 7 seconds faster.
Plus, Todd got an email that had the top 10 picks, and J.J. McCarthy was already picked, even though he hadn't been picked on TV.
It was listed as a pick in an email that I got, and it was not announced just yet on NFL Network or ESPN.
Do you have that email?
There's almost no way that's possible.
Do you have that email?
I may have deleted it, but I will check.
Well, it's in your deleted.
Yeah, it'd be in your trash.
Why do I think this is not a conspiracy and more about Todd and email systems?
This is like Oliver Stone is going to be like, how was the JFK assassination announced in Australia 24 hours before it actually happened?
I got something at 9:18 p.m. last night. It says, tonight's NFL draft so far. And at number 10, it said Vikings traded up J.J. McCarthy, and it had not been announced yet by the commission.
Mm-hmm.
Very soon after it did, but I got this email before the announcement was made.
You know what? Let's get the I-team on that. Paulie?
On it.
Fritzy, send it over to Paulie. Let's get the I-team on it. All right, we'll take a break. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Our good buddy Ross Tucker joining us in a moment. I did go out and inspect the Traeger grills just to make sure that everything looked on the up and up. Pretzel bun sliders, mini pretzel dogs, and baked pretzel bites and beer cheese dip. This is how it sounded last night when the draft all of a sudden changed. Here's the commissioner.
With the 8th pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington.
You just hear the laughter there. They're like, whoa, at least it's not us. You know, just the shock value there. And I kept going, wait, there has to be a trade. Did they take somebody to maybe be able to trade to somebody? And then we realized, nope, they were taking Michael Penix Jr. III. He's Ross Tucker, our good buddy, Westwood One CBS Sports NFL college football analyst and host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Give me some logic behind what the Falcons did last night.
Well, I would say, Dan, when in doubt in the NFL, in my experience, look for the decision makers to make decisions that they believe is in their best interest for their job security and or job preservation. And I believe at some point the Falcons GM Terry Fontenot and the head coach Raheem Morris were talking and they realized, hey, we're probably going to be pretty good the next couple years with Kirk Cousins. The NFC South's not that great. We will be in the mix. Maybe we'll win the division, be in the playoffs. But if we get a guy like Penix now, then year three, maybe year four, we have a succession plan in place to the point where Arthur Blank isn't going to fire them before Penix at least has 1 year, maybe even two. So I think those guys essentially, Dan, bought themselves a four-year runway, maybe even five, but a four-year runway with a couple years of Cousins, probably a couple years of Penix. And I think that's a big reason why they did what they did. I think it's selfish. And this is coming from a former player's perspective. I think it's borderline disrespectful to guys like Jake Matthews at left tackle, Grady Jarrett, defensive tackle, even Kirk Cousins, who probably won't even still be on the team and playing by the time Penix plays. It really, really bothers me.
Yeah, but Arthur Blank has to go, hold on, explain this to me. And I would imagine he would have veto power in the war room, because if you said to me, hey, we just signed this guy for $100 million, and granted, we shouldn't. He's 35 coming off Achilles surgery. And we're going to fall in love with Michael Penix Jr. and we're going to take him. And we need defense. And now we can be that surprise team. Maybe we could be the Detroit Lions. Maybe we're that next team to step up. I just can't imagine that they convinced Arthur Blank, you know, hey, this is the right guy for 3 years down the road. We don't even know if Arthur Blank's going to be alive in 3 years. He's 81. From every angle, as much as I liked Penix, I didn't like him that much, and I don't want him to sit for 3 years.
Well, and Dan, at a minimum, okay, even if you liked the move, it is an overallocation of resources in the same offseason. You know, they say they like the Green Bay Packer model. Well, first of all, the Green Bay Packers already had their franchise quarterbacks. They didn't just sign them to four-year deals. And also, those guys, Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love, fell to them in the 20s, which, by the way, eviscerates the Falcons' whole argument that you can only get these guys in the top 10, and we're not going to be drafting here, and you got to get them now. First of all, Penix was the fourth quarterback to go off the board, okay? Let's not act like this was Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams. He was the fourth guy off the board, and the Packers were able to get franchise quarterbacks in the 20s to do it the same. Dan, they gave Kirk Cousins a no-trade clause. Like, where is the foresight? If you liked Penix this much and you signed Cousins the second week of March, you know, if you thought there was any chance that you would draft Penix at 8, you don't give Kirk Cousins that contract and a no-trade clause so that you can't even get any recoupment of the assets when you move on from Cousins. He's not going to let you trade him. He's like, nope, nope, veto, nope. You're going to have to cut Cousins and give him the $10 million that's still guaranteed in 2026. I think it's one of the worst moves I've seen in a long time. I know some Falcons fans feel like, hey, it means we're going to be good for the next 10 to 12 years. Yeah, well, maybe, but Michael Penix might stink. And not only that, there were a bunch of teams that wanted to trade up to get him, like the Saints, like the Raiders, reportedly. The Falcons could have traded down, still gotten the number one defensive player in the draft, whoever they thought that was, and gotten other assets and cemented themselves as the clear favorite in the NFC South to actually get to the playoffs for the first time in 7 years since 2017 and host a home playoff game. But no, they didn't want to do that. They're worried about their own job. I think it's a selfish move by the GM and head coach. That's my read on it from a player's perspective.
What else bothered you last night?
I don't know that anything else really bothered me. I guess the thing that surprised me, and maybe surprise isn't the right word, but I've had so many guys come on my show, Dan, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, just like you have on your show, right? And I'm telling you, the only unanimity, the only consensus was what all the quarterback gurus I spoke to said about Jaden Daniels and Drake May. Every guy, Greg Cosell, Phil Sims, Chase Daniel, They all love Jaden Daniels. He's the best pure progression reader of the group. He's the best pure pocket passer. We know about him as a runner. Dan, none of them said positive things about Drake May. I mean, he was called raw. Phil Simms said his tape was disappointing, misses too many layups, doesn't have the throw-to-throw accuracy. It's just wild for me. I don't pretend to be a quarterback guru. I don't sit there and watch five games and talk about the guy's footwork. But I have all these guys come on my show. They all loved Jaden Daniels. They all had major concerns about Drake May. I just think it's very interesting, kind of wild, that those guys went back-to-back,
yeah,
given, you know, the feedback I had gotten on both players.
Well, we had somebody from Pro Football Focus, Trevor Sikkema, and he said, look, I went back and looked at throws by Jaden Daniels. He goes, he's the quarterback I have more questions about. He said he doesn't throw it over the middle. And the throws that he was really good at in college are going to be really hard to complete a high percentage. And he said, so I've got real concerns about him, which I found interesting. Tim Hasselbeck, the former quarterback, he loved Drake May, loved. And, you know, from the last couple of months here, Orlovsky loved him. It just feels like there's people who are in your camp and realize that, okay, maybe you are raw, but you have that potential to be something a little more special. My problem with this is I would rather go to Washington than I would New England, because at least I have some offensive weapons. That's why Caleb Williams will succeed. I mean, they already have pieces in place. You get Adunze, which I said to Paulie, I go, you guys are contenders. The Bears are contenders after last night. But I can't say that about New England. I wouldn't have taken a quarterback there, no matter how much I liked him.
You know what's so funny to me about that, Dan? The people that support Drake May, right? And again, I don't pretend to be a quarterback guy. But the people that support him say, well, he didn't have any receivers last year at North Carolina. The offensive line wasn't good. Now you're going to send him to the Patriots? I mean, have you seen the Patriots roster?
He could have stayed another year.
Offensive line and wide receiver?
Yeah, stay at North Carolina another year instead of going to New England. Yeah.
I mean, that's not a good fit. Maybe the thought process is he's used to having bad receivers and a bad O-line. Maybe that's why they took him. And I hear these Josh Allen comparisons. I'm like, okay, well, he's not 6'5", 250. He doesn't run over people like Josh Allen. Josh Allen has like the strongest arm I've ever seen. You know, like I don't like the Josh Allen comparisons for Drake May. Just because a guy struggles in some areas, don't tell me he's Josh Allen. You know, how many guys have really improved like Josh Allen did? Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, those are the two guys I can really think of right now that greatly improved from college and during their NFL career in terms of throwing the ball and accuracy.
The Giants had the opportunity to take their quarterback. Now, I was told that they wanted Drake May, or they were going to stay put, and then they were going to take a wide receiver. I didn't buy into the J.J. McCarthy, we're going 1-4. Didn't buy it. Minnesota got him, and that's a good situation for him. So the Giants passed on a quarterback. Your reaction was what?
Job security. Yeah. I mean, it just goes back to the same thing I was talking about with the Falcons. I think Joe Shane, the GM, Brian Daboll, the head coach, they know last year was a disaster. They know they have to win this year. Do you have a better chance to win with J.J. McCarthy as a rookie and all these pedestrian receivers they have? Or can you hope that Jones comes back from the injury, plays like he did 2 years ago, and now that you actually give him a legit explosive receiver? I mean, Malik Nabers is a dude. You watch him, he is fun to watch. This is their best chance to have a winning season, to maybe make the playoffs.
Wait, Daboll and Joe Shane still have those jobs. No, let me use your logic. If I wanted to keep my job longer, I would have taken J.J. McCarthy, because now you're going to give me the opportunity to reset, and now I get 3 or 4 more years. That's what you just said the Falcons are doing. They're ensuring you get to keep your job because you just drafted Michael Penix. So why wouldn't the Giants, if the coach and GM want to hold their job, you take the quarterback of the future?
Well, I think it would have to go well for the Giants. Otherwise, they would move on from them because they would say, you gave Daniel Jones all that money, and then you moved on from him after a year, and the rookie quarterback's not looking real promising. I think the difference, and by the way, the Falcons management, they might only get 1 year with Penix. So they might have only bought themselves for sure 3 years, because Cousins has $100 million guaranteed. Cousins is their quarterback the next 2 years, barring injury. Although even that part of it bothers me, Dan. What he's a top 10 pick. What's going to happen when Cousins throws three picks? On the radio in Atlanta, they're going to say, maybe it's time to put the kid in there. Maybe they should put Penix in there. They set themselves up for a terrible, terrible situation.
Are you okay? I think somebody... Did you guys say something negative about Ross with my retirement and if Ross was going to put his name in the hat and take over?
I know his name was thrown around the room and someone said something.
Who said something?
Fritzy.
Fritzy, did you say something negative about Ross Tucker last week?
I don't think so.
Yes, he did. Fritzy said, I would spike your drink.
Oh, I did say that.
To try to expedite the process.
I said that in jest, but I did in fact say that he'd be most likely to try to end things for you. So he.
I didn't take it in jest.
It was meant to be tongue-in-cheek. I don't think I'm that mean.
I know. Ross would not do that.
It really hurt, Fritzy.
I apologize. That was supposed to be a joke.
It's bothered me ever since I saw the clip.
Don't do that. You know I'm sensitive, and that was totally a joke. Although,
no, it hurt.
He's sensitive, Todd.
I had people text me about it. My mom was crying about it. It hurt.
And, yeah. And Mother's Day is almost coming up. That was just very bad timing.
Yes,
I mean.
Paul.
And if Ross were going to do something to take you out, it wouldn't be poison. It'd be something physical. It'd pile drive you. DDT, something like that.
Hmm. No, but if you
I would poison the spicy mustard on a meat Friday, probably.
Take us all out in one fell swoop.
Yeah. So well if done. You do want to put your name in the hat with Chris Mannix, publicly, I mean, now's your time.
3.5 years from now sounds like a long time.
Listen. Just tell that to the Falcons and Kirk Cousins.
I will say this, Dan, and you know this because I've told you this. There's nothing more. My two favorite things to do in all of my career, all of media, are call a game and fill in for you. My two favorite things by far. They're just so fun. It's an incredibly good time. So the chance to do that every day, that would be insane someday.
All right. In 3.5 years. What happens first, though?
Can I be your Michael Penix Jr., Dan?
You would be. Yes. You'd wait for 3.5 years. Thank you, Ross.
Of course. Great talking with you guys.
That's Ross Tucker. Got his own football podcast, Westwood One, CBS Sports.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments, where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.